Thanks for downloading this show from PC One. Before we get rolling, here's a word from one of the folks who helped bring you this podcast.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
From Hollywood, California, by way of the Broken Skull Ranch, this is the Steve Austin Show.
Give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Now, here's Steve Austin.
All right, everybody, welcome to Steve Austin Show. I am coming to you from the mean streets of Los Angeles, California today. Got a hellacious show for you. I'm talking to my old buddy, Vince Russo. I called him up on Skype, and guess what? A conversation about pro wrestling broke out. He's going to be on the Tuesday show today and the Thursday show in 2 days from now. So it's a week with Vince Russo. And as you know, he's very passionate about the business of pro wrestling / sports entertainment and very outspoken. He is not afraid to voice his opinions. He is my guest today. But before we get to Vince Russo on the podcast, and Vince Russo also has his own podcast, The Brand. It's on 5 days a week at PodcastOne.com and iTunes. It's a free download. So check out his podcast if you have not already. What I've got going on right now is a hell of a unique situation. I'm in my bedroom / office, as I call it. I'm in my chair. I need a desk. I don't have a desk in here. I'm trying to podcast. I came in here a while ago to talk to Vince Russo. Hershey had gotten up on my chair. I sat on the floor, put my laptop computer on this little cubicle thing my wife got on Amazon. It's an ottoman. And then put my microphone on there. And so I was sitting there. And if in my conversation with Vince Russo, you hear a dog snoring in the background, that's Hershey the Wonder Dog. And you're about to hear some growling right now. We just got a new black lab puppy. She's 9 weeks old. We've had her for about 9 days. I sent a picture of her out on Twitter or Instagram, and you guys responded by sending me about 2,500 different names. After mulling it over for several days, we finally, my wife and I, Kristen, who joins me on the podcast now, came up with a name. First off, Kristen, it's great to see you. How are you today? Welcome to the Steve Austin Show.
Thank you, Steve. I'm pleased to be here today.
Okay, you're scratching our little baby dog there. Hershey and Moolah have been out of sorts for an entire week. We've introduced a new member to the pack. How do you think it's going so far?
It's going. You can hear Moolah growling.
In the background. Moolah, you want to join in on the podcast?
No, what Moolah does is she brings a toy and gets the puppy to try and chase her. So she brings the toy. If the puppy chases her, she growls at her.
But it's mixed signals, because previously Moolah would either run away from the dog or just growl at her from get-go because she didn't want no part of her.
Well, yeah, she used to just run. Now she's at least interacting. So
you know, the dogs, when we brought this thing home, they wouldn't touch her with a 10-foot pole. Now Hershey has regulated her a couple times. She's established that she's alpha. And it took a long time, but finally the black lab went belly up and was submissive to her, so she knows who's the boss. Now she's learning that from Moolah, because Moolah regulated her pretty hard this morning.
Yeah.
And it's not like a fighting, but it's just growling and
they're communicating.
A little bit of nipping. It's establishing that pecking order. And anyway, Kristen, after all the days of trying to come up with a name, I'll let you do the reveal of what we decided to call our black lab, who completes our pack back to three dogs.
Her name?
You're not invited to be on a podcast yet, Little Bit.
Her name's not Little Bit. It's Callie, short for California Girl.
So her name is Callie. You spell that C-A-L-I. That's how we spell it. We just ordered her a collar online. We always get our dogs name tag collars with our phone numbers on them. Well, my wife's phone number. Or a phone number. Jesus Christ.
The doctor's phone number.
The doctor's phone number. So some type of identification in case one of these damn things gets lost and we can track them down. I know, but we love our dogs.
I know.
They sleep in bed with them, and then they're our kids, and they're all chipped. So when do we take this dog in and get chipped?
Probably when I get her next set of shots.
Well, I'll tell you what, one of the things that happened when we brought this dog home, we couldn't believe how aggressive it was.
Yeah.
And then so Kristen started asking our vet about it, and what did the vet say?
He calls her an alpha puppy.
So we got...
We call her the Spitfire. That's her other nickname.
Yeah, and I didn't know what to... Well, I'm almost going to call her PETA after a pain in the ass.
Yeah, that was my favorite name.
Yeah, but I don't want to call her PETA. It would remind me of a chip. And if I got drunk one night and got the munchies, I might eat PETA. Where's the dog? I ate some pita chips last night with some salsa. I had the munchies. So her name is Callie. Right now she's trying to tear my wife's hoodie off because she's nipping at the sleeve. That dog attacked me the other day. I've got all these little bite marks on my right hand. I'm trying to teach her that my hand is not a teething toy because I got those little sharp puppy teeth.
And mind you, I have spent a fortune at the pet store. I'm there twice a day buying stuff.
God dang, that one thing that you just bought, I couldn't believe you didn't buy another one. It's for cats.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a little fit. We call it a fishing pole, and it's got like a little 2-foot line on it with a mouse on the end of it. It's for cats.
Yeah.
But God dang, it works perfect for puppies.
Yes, it does.
Callie, would you knock it off? She's going to be another. Watch her. Good girl, Hershey. Go ahead, Hershey. Get her. All right, I'm going to hit the pause button. All right, and on that note, my wife has left the room. She's left the podcast. I unplugged her microphone. Callie has to go out to the backyard. I'm in here in my office with Hershey, the wonder dog. And so as we move on to open the podcast before I get my conversation with Vince Russo from The Brand, holy smokes, man, who watched UFC 210? And if you got something you can add to this or give me some thoughts on what happened, send me a comment, question, or what the hell happened to questions@steveaustinshow.com. Holy smokes, man, looking for a hellacious fight between Chris Weidman, however you pronounce his name, big fan, great kid, hell of a fighter, taking on Gegard Mousasi, who's on a 4-fight win streak. And this is a fight both guys really needed to win. And give or take, what was it, second round, Chris Weidman's hands and feet were on the mat. He was in a standing position, but he was bent over. And then Gegard Mousasi delivered a couple of knees to the head, which appeared to be illegal strikes at first, but then after the replay, both were legal strikes. Well, Chris sat down, and Dan Mergliotti, the referee, stopped the fight. The doctors or the commission stepped in, and then after, what, a 15 to 20-minute delay, no one knew what the hell was going on. The fight was declared over, and Mousasi gets the win with a TKO. Now, they're both legal strikes, and I can understand that Dan Mergliotti was in a position not to see how the hands were. He was calling it like he saw it, but he didn't see it right. God dang, you talk about a complete jumble of a mess. And Mousasi was getting booed out of the building. He didn't want to get his hand raised in that fashion. He wanted to win how you're supposed to win. Same with Chris. I mean, two game fighters, total cluster of a fight. Joe Rogan and the other guys on the horns trying to make sense of it all. And then, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, I don't know. I didn't really understand through everything that happened why they ended up declaring the TKO, because if there were legal strikes, Weidman was okay, and I think Mousasi was okay with it. Just why not just restart the fight? You know, Mousasi said in his post-fight interview, said, hey, man, if he wants a rematch, let's do it, because you don't want to win that way. The dude's a badass competitor, just like Chris. But somehow along the way, everything got jumbled up, and it just turned into a complete cluster. So I was enjoying the pay-per-view. The two women who had a fight tore the place down with an outstanding fight. Man, Gonzalez is going to be around for a little bit, but the Calvi, whatever her name is, put on a hell of a damn performance. Those women, and that was the 115-pound class, I really enjoyed that fight. And, man, they really gave it everything they had. So shout out to both the women fighters. And then moving into that main event spot, man, my man, DC, Daniel Cormier. God dang, you talk about cagey, taking on Anthony Rumble Johnson. And God dang, Rumble Johnson is just so explosive, so powerful, the guy with those kicks and those heavy hands. And I was just waiting to see what was going to happen in this fight. I was talking with my buddy, Joe Romero, at Average Joe. I think he's on Twitter. Can't remember, but I was talking to Joe Romero about this fight, and man, we really wanted to see what the power was going to be for Rumble. He's so dangerous, and how DC would counter that. And I was telling Joe, I said, I think DC is just so cagey that he's going to be able to, you know, be the smarter fighter in this. And it was weird because Rumble was trying to take the wrestling game to DC, and then DC was sapping his strength up against that cage, which is one thing I thought he might try to do. But I think even he was surprised by, you know, the fight that Rumble brought him. and ends up catching him. What was it, a rear naked choke that he choked him out with? God dang, it was a damn good fight. And, you know, I've seen, shoot, probably almost every single one of DC's fights, and he's been in some epic ones. This fight lasted, what, two rounds, almost two rounds? And I thought it was one of the toughest wins that DC's had, just because Rumble is so damn dangerous. But it was just very impressive because DC's so damn sticky in that wrestling game because, as we know, he's a former, you know, Olympic wrestler. But I just didn't expect the fight. I thought DC would win. I called TKO with my buddy Joe. Ended up being a submission. Anyway, happy for DC. Maybe I'll try to get him on a podcast. Hell of a performance. And then the shocker was when Anthony Rumble Jones, who's got unbelievable potential and is one of the most dangerous guys on planet Earth, decides to hang it up and go into retirement and pursue something else that he's been planning on doing. And it really caught me off guard. It caught everybody off guard. And I wonder if he will actually stay retired because, you know, and listen to the guys talk after the show. He was talking about, well, you know, he doesn't, or they were saying that he doesn't really enjoy the training of it. And there's a lot to that goes into it. And it's a tough life. There's no doubt about that. Got a ton of respect for those guys. But to see that guy be so close to being the world champion, he's been defeated twice by DC. But with a different strategy, who knows, you know, because it is MMA and anything can happen. But the guy has championship-grade material written all over him. To see him ride off in the sunset so early, maybe he's protecting his health, tired of the training, whatever it was. But it will be interesting to see. Let me wrap this thing up. If Rumble Johnson decides to stay retired, because, man, it just seems like he's got so much gas left in the tank. But, you know, I'm not an MMA fighter. I don't know the grind that they go through. I don't know what his next endeavor is going to be. But, man, I enjoyed watching you fight, Rumble. Very dangerous cat. Always entertaining. Straight up man's man. Kind of a no BS kind of guy. And I enjoyed him. And now we'll see what happens with DC. Daniel Cormier, I enjoyed that damn promo after the fight, talking about John Jones, talking about your next opponent, talking about ineligible. Got to get your academics right before you're eligible, right? So don't even bring him into conversation, according to DC. I dug it. But anyway, hey, man, I'm going to be heading to Texas. As you listen to this podcast, I'll probably be en route to Texas, going down to Broken Skull Ranch to get my pickup truck. And I'm tired of letting that thing sit in the barn so I can drive around here in the mean streets of Los Angeles. So I'll be en route to Texas tomorrow as you're downloading this podcast. And then I'll probably cut a podcast on the road. But this is a two-part conversation with Vince Russo. As you listen to the show on Thursday, I will be en route back to California driving my pickup truck. And I hope you enjoy the shows. Vince Russo talking about business of pro wrestling and all things in between. Vince just moved from Denver, Colorado to Indiana, and he's on 5 acres. So now the city slicker turned into a country boy. You'll hear a little bit of his acclimation process as he settled into his new place. He's been there for a couple of months. But anyway, good luck to you, Vince, as you learn how to work and live in the country. I think you're going to dig it, especially messing with them catfish you guys are going to hear about. But anyway, before we get into the body podcast with Vince, let me tell you how you can get a luxury shave at an economy price. Join DollarShaveClub.com/Steve. Buying a razor is a lot like buying a car. To get smooth, luxury quality, you have to pay a high price. And the reality is that you're really just paying for fancy marketing and features that you don't need. That's why you need to sign up for DollarShaveClub.com/Steve. Dollar Shave Club's razors are great quality, and they've got that shave tech you actually need and none of the overpriced gimmicks that you don't need. That's why Dollar Shave Club razors are all over my rental house at 317 Gimmick Street and my actual crib at 316 Gimmick Street. So say goodbye to the 24-blade swivel pivot robo razor with laser pointer that costs you a whole month's paycheck. Say goodbye to the fancy marketing that makes you believe one tiny change to the big corporation's razor makes it a complete brand new razor that you need to shell out even more money for. Sign up for DollarShaveClub.com/Steve and get a smooth shave with a great razor for a fraction of the price. Your skin will thank you for it and your wallet will too. Smarten up and join DollarShaveClub.com/Steve today, because right now you can get your first month of any of their amazing razors for just $1, including free shipping. And after that, it's just a few bucks a month. There's no long-term commitments, no hidden fees, and you can cancel whenever you want. Get your first month for $1 at DollarShaveClub.com/Steve. That's DollarShaveClub.com/Steve. Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea for you. Let's add, save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to GEICO.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It may just be the most rewarding to-do you do today.
The Steve Austin Show. The Steve Austin Show.
I might as well just go ahead and roll sound. I've been discussing my situation about how I'm podcasting with Vince Russo of The Brand on Podcast One. He's running 5 days a week. As I always video Skype with Vince, so it's good to see you. You look different. What'd you change?
Well, bro, you're not going to believe this, Steve, but you're seeing a totally different backdrop.
Yeah, I am. That's what it is.
Bro, I moved from Colorado. I live in a log cabin in the woods in Indiana, bro.
I was just on your Wikipedia page because I'd called you yesterday. We touched base about a week ago. You were traveling. We've been trying to hook up to do a podcast, and I was just thinking, okay, we were shooting a breeze, and we knew where we were going to start. But I said, well, let me go back and refresh myself, because there are a lot of things that I didn't know what was going on. And then it says 2017, you were residing in Indiana. And last time I talked to you, you seemed like you were very happy in, what, around Denver, Colorado, wherever it was.
Yeah, no, listen, Steve, I love Colorado. I miss Colorado. But, bro, listen, the older you get, you got to start looking at your nickels and your dimes. And literally out here in Indiana, I bought 5.5 acres, a log cabin. I own my own lake, bro. I got a lake full of catfish and literally half the price of what I was paying in Colorado.
You didn't turn into a country boy from a city slicker.
Oh, yeah, bro. I was out there on the lake fishing yesterday, bro.
So what do you do with the fish when you catch them? You a catch and release guy, or you're going to eat them?
Nah, bro. Listen, I go out. This is going to crack you up, Steve, because I am a city boy. I am from New York. Bro, I go out every day and I feed my catfish. They all come right to – they wait. Bro, they're like my pets now. So I can't eat them. I catch them. I throw them back in.
Man, I had the same thing. I had a catfish pond, and I had one of those automatic feeders where the timer would go off and chuck the feed out there. You know, little pellets like you're using. You're probably hand feeding.
Yeah, man,
those things come boiling to the top. It's so fun to watch them. And I was kind of like you. You know, they kind of turned into my pets. So I'd throw them out there. I'd catch them, reel them in, throw them back. I couldn't stand the thought. People always say, hey, man, Stone Cold Steve Austin, he's vicious, he's ruthless, he's mean. That's a Stone Cold character. You know, and when it comes down to eating a couple of fish, yeah, I'll pull them out. It's like fishing for trout in South Texas. You know, you hate to see the fish and they're sitting there opening and closing their mouth trying to get some water when they're in the, you know, they're in the boat. And I'm like, man, that sure is a bad way to go. So yeah, man, I'm a catch and release guy too. When it comes down to eat, I'll eat them. But you know, I just hate to see the little bastard starve. I mean,
bro, die. People probably think you fish with a shotgun, bro.
Well, before we just start, we're going to shoot the breeze anyways. Catch up, but what? Looking at your dimes and nickels, what made you decide to head down to Indiana out of all the places you could have picked?
Two reasons. First of all, I went to college here, bro.
That's right. And
the log cabin is literally across the street from where I went to school. I met my wife at college. 33 years we've been married. This is her hometown.
Oh, okay.
Steve, I got to ask you a question. We're just shooting the breeze here, right? Me and you.
Yeah.
Steve, I'm old school, you know, bro, the man's, and I took a lot of heat for this online. The man's the head of the household. The man makes the living. You know, I mean, that's how I was raised. My grandfather was Sicilian. I'm a strict Italian family. I believe the man is the head of the household. But my whole life, Steve, my wife did what I wanted to do. And like, Steve, I've been married to the same woman 33 years. Bro, you know how it was on the road every week and all that crap. I had to move. I had to move to Connecticut. I had to move to Atlanta. I had to move all over the place. She did everything I wanted her to do. And bro, now I'm 56 years old now, Steve, and I want to give back now. You know what I mean? I mean, it meant a lot to my wife to spend the last years with her mother and her family. And I was like, you know what? If I could find a nice little log cabin, I'm going to give back for everything she did for me. Because, bro, the wife's put up with a lot of crap in the wrestling business, Steve. You know that, bro.
Oh, man, it's a crazy world. I mean, at every level, from management to writing to the guys in the ring, the guys setting up the ring, the referees. I mean, guys running cable, guys running cameras. I mean, just the whole thing of just a bunch of traveling entourage being on the road. There's a lot of things that can happen. And just even if you're just the most straight up person in the world, just being on the road traveling is being away from your family. And it's rough.
It's a
different kind of life. Now that you have 5.5 acres, you know, are you out there mowing your yard? Are you doing all this stuff yourself? Or you got a yard guy? Break that down for me.
Bro, you're going to love this, bro. Okay? Because I negotiated in my deal. She had a riding tractor, bro. So I negotiated the tractor. I've never been on a riding tractor in my life. So just this week, I'm going to go out. I'm going to start it up. I'm going to make sure I know how to ride the damn thing. But yeah, bro, I got to use a riding tractor because there's 5.5 acres out here.
Yeah, but right now, is there snow on the ground or is it starting to warm up?
Oh, no, it's been warm for a while now. It's ready for a cut.
Okay, so you know when you get on that thing, you're going to be out in the UV rays, UVA and UVB. Make sure you wear some sunblock because a lot of cats go out there and have some sunglasses on and maybe even some earplugs or something like that. I always use noise-canceling headphones when I'm running my music through them. But either if you ain't going to use sunblock, I have one of those floppy hats, kind of like a sailor hat, but it covers my ears and stuff. Because, dude, you get your ass beat up on the sun and you'll go to sleep at night thinking, well, what in the hell was I thinking? I should have used some damn sunblock. And I'm talking as a 52-year-old guy to a 56 beginner out there in the woods.
Yeah, but let me tell you this, Steve, you're going to get a kick out of this, bro. And I mean, that's why I'm glad you're schooling me. Steve, the first thing I do when I get out here, what do, bro? Bro, I'm a New Yorker. All weeds look alike to me. So when I see a weed, bro, I start pulling freaking weeds. Bro, head to toe, poison ivy, my first 2-3 days here. It was freaking brutal, bro.
What did you put on, just calamine lotion or just let it run
the course? No, bro, you know, I did that because that's old school, Steve, but yeah. Somebody smarted me up. There's like a soap now, bro. There's like a poison ivy soap. And I mean, I just scrubbed myself with that soap and it seemed to work. But, bro, the first couple days here, I was covered, man.
The learning curve of doing everything because, man, once you get eaten up by poison oak, poison ivy, you learn to stay away from it. Fortunately, down at the Broken Skull Ranch, I mean, we just don't have a whole lot of it. It's not something I really had to look for. One other thing, when you get on that riding lawnmower, tractor, whatever it is, dude, start off in a real low gear. Just take your time. You know, lay out your first loop or however you're going to section your yard up to mow it. Just be slow. There's always room down the road to go into the next gear or whatever. Don't get in a hurry. When you get in a hurry, you're going to tear something up, you're going to screw something up, or you'll run into something. You won't know which pedal to push. Just take your time.
Yeah. Well, Steve, here's another thing I'm worried about. I don't think you would have this problem on the ranch. But, bro, literally, I'm in the woods, Steve. I can't see neighbors or anything. Well, apparently now, bro, there's these very expensive exotic mushrooms that grow wild on my property. And, bro, they go for like $100 a pound. I can't think of the name of them. But now, so right away, bro, I'm out there with my pail. I'm looking on the dead trees. I'm going to sell mushrooms for a living, bro. I don't care. But then somebody tells me, oh, by the way, bro, you got to be careful for ticks. So now I'm freaking petrified, bro, to go out there in the woods because I'm going to freaking get ticks all over my head.
man, here's the thing. Out of all the years that I've been in and outdoors and 10 years of owning that Broken Skull Ranch, you know, I've had my share of ticks, but, man, if you go outside, wear a long sleeve shirt if you're mowing or something like that, because I was just at the ranch a couple of weeks ago, and my grass is about a foot and a half tall, so I got a John Deere riding lawnmower, and I was mowing my path. You know, it shoots out on this side, so I'm mowing with this edge because it's the clean edge. Well, the problem was, as the grass was shooting out this way, the wind was blowing very hard back this way. I got covered with about 40 chigger bites. Are you familiar with chiggers yet?
I never even heard of it.
Well, you will know after you mow if you get that grass blowing back on you. They're just little bitty bugs that you really can't see, and they burrow into your skin. And there's all these ways to cure them. They say put nail polish on them or this, that, or whatever. You can't get rid of them. They'll last for about, 5 to 7, 10 days.
Oof.
Dude, you should have seen my delts. I looked like a crackhead or a meth head. They were so bad, and I was scratching the hell out of them.
Shit.
They were all on my shins, and as it was going on, I've done this a million times. I said, oh, it'll be cool. No big deal. I'm Steve Austin. I'm tough. Those chiggers kick my ass, and I got them all over my shins. So that's one other thing you got to look for out there other than the ticks. But as far as the ticks go, man, when you jump in the shower, just scan yourself and look good, because, man, they'll get in the damnedest places. And, they carry Lyme disease.
I know. I had a cousin that got that. That's why I'm concerned about it.
Yeah, I have someone very close to me that has Lyme disease. And, man, I mean, they're just totally fatigued. It took, probably 10 years to figure out, what the deal was with it. And turns out it's Lyme disease, chronically tired, fatigued, loss of weight, just everything goes with it. So it's a pain in the neck. But, hey, let's shift gears for a second here, because I called you the other day about doing a podcast, and I was going to say, hey, man, where are you at with this thing? How you doing it? You still enjoying it? And you'd kind of stopped reporting about wrestling, for a while, and you got back into that. But, I was on your Wikipedia page, and I don't think I've talked to you since China, Joni Lahr, passed.
Yeah.
Have I?
I don't think so, Steve. It's been a while.
It's been a while. And then, but I was reading that you were very good friends with her. How close were you with Joni? I call her China, and I always have. And I was very close with her, but I was only around her just, at the buildings and stuff like that. Didn't travel with her. I wasn't a part of DX. But we were very good friends. So how close were you with her?
Steve, I got to tell you how difficult this was, because I was very close with her. We kept the relationship after wrestling. Okay. God, Steve, she went to Japan, and she was, teaching English as a first language, over there in Japan. And Steve, it was so difficult for me, because she would Skype me in the middle of the night, and Steve, she would be out of it. And, here I am. I'm a friend of hers. I love her to death. She's in another country by herself. And, bro, it's in the middle of the night, Steve, and I'm trying to keep her online just to keep her awake, because I am scared to death. If I leave her by herself, if I let her go, God knows what was going to happen. I was really worried about her at that point. So what I did was I was trying my best to get her back here. All right, let's figure out, Joni, how do we get your ticket? How do we get you back in the States? Because she was over there by herself. But, Steve, the problem that was so difficult for me was I couldn't have a conversation with her. She was so incoherent. Every time I spoke to her, I couldn't have a conversation with her. So finally, one of her friends from California, that Anthony guy, he was able to get her back to L.A. She used to live with the guy in L.A. They were just, business relationship. But she got a new place in L.A. We spoke, and the first couple of times I talked to her, bro, she was as sharp as a tack. I thought, now that she's back, I ran into her at a couple conventions. I thought, her past was behind her. But then, Steve, slowly but surely, I started getting those phone calls again. And she fell right back into that same pattern. And I swear, Steve, here was the funny thing. She left me a message and she was out of it. And I said to myself, there's no point in me calling her back. Because, Steve, you know, when somebody's like that, you can't have a conversation with them. I called Anthony and I said, Anthony, please give me an update on Joni. What's going on with her? And, you know, he basically said to me, you know, she's kind of relapsed. He says he was a little worried about it. But Steve, this is 2 days before she passed away. The last thing he said to me was, but Vince, don't worry about it. I don't think she'd do something stupid. And at that time, they were putting together an intervention, which was, you know, going to happen soon. And literally, bro, 2 days from that phone call, I got the news that she passed away. And it broke my heart, you know, Steve. It just really did.
Yeah, it broke my heart, too. I was one of the first people probably to find out, you know, more important people than me found out. But then I got the news. And when I first heard it, this is before it broke nationwide or worldwide. And I was like, man, there's can't be true. And, you know, the guy said, you know, if you want to call some friends, you can. And I was like, I want to wait because I don't know. You know, when you hear some heavy duty news like this, and this was, you know, China, and she was very strong, very intelligent, as you know, just a super sweetheart. So I was like, man, it's got to be a rib. And this is a bad rib, but I'm going to just wait. And then I found out it ended up being true. Boy, it really shook me. And I've known so many people in the business, probably you have too, that have, you know, passed away way too early and from reasons that shouldn't have happened. But yeah, it was really, man, it was really a weird moment, and then it kind of broke, and I was like, God dang, man, I really can't believe it. What year was it when she made her debut in WWE? Do you remember? Were you writing then?
I was writing. I would have to say probably 96.
I was going to say, yeah, 96 or right in 97, but in that ballpark. But did you come on in 97?
No, I mean, I was writing. I was writing when she came aboard.
Okay, what was your first impressions from a visual standpoint? You haven't seen her. All of a sudden, you know there's going to be this new person in, and right now she's called Joni because she didn't have a name. So what were your thoughts of her just from a visual standpoint? You think, hey, man, we have something special here, because I remember when I met her, I think it was a rare occasion. I don't believe I was traveling with Triple H and Shawn, but they were going to meet her at that hotel. She had just come in, was from Kowalski School, or she was kind of local, and she was going to go to TV that next day. It was going to be a Monday Night Raw taping, and I was just going to go to my room, but it was an evening. We'd run a shot, and I got introduced to her, and I said, hey, how you doing, whatever, and I was like, man, this chick's pretty stout. And she's kind of a look or a feel about her. And so it's going to be her first day. But as soon as I saw her, I saw an it factor or sensed something about her that was different than just a normal human being, you know, meaning some type of star power. What were your thoughts?
You know, Steve, it's funny. And again, I'm just going to shoot totally straight with you. I wasn't told, you know, we've got this person coming in. I wasn't told any of that. One day in catering, Triple H was sitting across the table from her, just rapping with her. She wasn't somebody coming in. She wasn't, you know, nobody to me at that time. And I swear to God, Steve, my first reaction was I didn't know if it was a woman or a dude. Like, right. But I mean, obviously you turn your head and you were like, what is this? So, you know, Steve, you and I talk about it all the time. It's the it factor. You know, when somebody has the it factor, you know it. And I mean, she had the it factor. And bro, I think what made her so special was she had this physical presence and you expected one thing. But when you knew her personally, Steve, I'm being honest with you. I don't know if I've met a kinder heart in the wrestling business than her. And I don't say that because she's no longer with us. You know how she was, bro. That's an absolute shoot.
Yeah, we had a real similar sense of humor. We do the corniest, stupid things, but I was real close with her. I didn't get to travel with her like the guys from DX and stuff like that were, so many people knew her better than I did. But at the Billings, I mean, we talked all the time, just shot the breeze, told stupid, corny jokes. How was she to work with from a writing standpoint? And who ended up coming up with the Ninth Wonder of the World and even the name China? Was that you? Was that Vince McMahon? How did that evolve?
Bro, that was kind of all there when I first met her. I would think, bro, it was probably something her and Triple H were working on. Right. And, you know, that was his project. She was going to come with him. That was the plan all along. But, Steve, here's the part that there's so many things that are hard for me to deal with. Because, Steve, I say this all the time. To me, China is the one person that I can say the wrestling business killed China. Now, Steve, don't get me wrong. I also know when it comes to drugs, when it comes to addiction, when it comes to alcohol, you can't help somebody that doesn't want to help themselves. There's no question about that. But at the end of the day, she went into such a downward spiral because of what the business did to her. And here's what a lot of people don't understand, Steve. And this is why it really, really bothers me. And I'll be honest with you, Steve. I was never allowed to talk creative with Joni. I was never allowed to talk creative with China. Every single thing had to go through Triple H. Everything. And China was such a respectful human being that she let Hunter handle her entire career. So what a lot of people don't understand, Steve, is when she finds out, okay, Triple H is having an affair with Stephanie, she loses her fiance, she loses her job. So now all of a sudden you got this megastar who's huge, who's got the heart of a saint. No fiance, no job, no name, and doesn't really even know how to conduct business because Hunter was doing it for her. And I can't imagine somebody being hit with all that and being able to overcome it. She was never able to overcome all that.
As far as female stars, I would have to say man in the history of the business. And obviously she wasn't really a wrestler. She was more of that enforcer type. But just as far as an impact and her presence felt in that attitude era, which was, you know, the hottest period in the, you know, probably the history of pro wrestling, man, Sable would be in the same conversation. But China was helping draw some of those houses. She was a huge star. Would you agree?
Well, Steve, here's the thing.
Name a female star who was bigger than China.
Well, that's the thing. That's why I have such a freaking problem with the Hall of Fame. You know, because first of all, what people don't understand, listen, if I'm running this thing, knowing that who every man and woman that steps into the ring, knowing the sacrifices of the business, to the personal life, to the body, to the mind, to how you feel when you're 60 years old, to me, everybody who ever laced up a pair of boots, I would put in the Hall of Fame because I know you guys sacrificed everything for the wrestling business. But at the end of the day, what the Hall of Fame is it comes down to one man making that decision, and that's Vince McMahon. And is basically Vince is giving you his sign of approval when you're in the Hall of Fame. I sit here and somebody needs to explain to me, all due respect, how is Sonny in the Hall of Fame and a Sable and a China not in the Hall of Fame? They were all there during the Attitude Era. I wrote for all three. I know the impact all three had. How is that possible that the less of the three is in the Hall of Fame? And that's the part that just really, really, really irritates me. I mean, Steve, Steve, how is Steve Lombardi not in the WWE Hall of Fame? Because of his one loss record? I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Guys that gave their lives and yet politics keep them from achieving something that might not really mean anything, but it's very important to them. And that's the thing. It was important to China. And now the travesty is she's probably going to go in when she's not able to be here to know she went in. And to me, that I just think that's horrible.
That is the way it's going to go down. Ultimately, she will go in posthumously, and she will not be able to. It's weird. Well, it's not weird, but I didn't realize the impact I had on the business till I actually went into the Hall of Fame, because, you know, I was busy living it and going up and down the roads, going to the, you know, Monday Night Raws, doing the pay-per-views, the shows, and, you know, showing up, held halftime. You and I would shoot the breeze, see what we had, you know, concocted for that Monday night, whether I was driving this in, tearing that up, whatever. And so going into the Hall of Fame, it's kind of like when I was up there, there before I went to the stage, I saw that 5-minute video package that they had made of Stone Cold. And I was like, I was so far in the forest, I couldn't see the trees. And then that was that one moment of clarity where, hey, I knew I was on top. I knew I was on fire. I knew that I was selling out arenas and T-shirts and all that other stuff. But I didn't really get it until I went in. I was like, hey, man, you're among the best of the best. And, you know, you're being recognized for that. So, yeah, she'll miss that moment. And it really is a special moment because it takes me to this last group of inductees for 2017. I watched the Hall of Fame, and I was real impressed with it. Did you get a chance to watch the Hall of Fame this year?
God, Steve, I got to be honest with you. I was in I think it was California, not this past WrestleMania, the one before, and I watched the Hall of Fame. Bro, I think Larry Zbyszko turned me off to the Hall of Fame, to be honest with you, because that speech went on and on and on. I wanted to do the old Archie Bunker when he's talking to Edith and he makes the face fake noose in hand. Bro, and after that, I was like, I can't. So, I did not watch this Hall of Fame. But, Steve, when you talk about that moment, that's what I'm talking about, man. People should be given that moment. Like another guy that comes to mind, Steve, and it breaks my freaking heart because he just passed away. How is Ivan Koloff not in the Hall of Fame? Why didn't Ivan Koloff get to see that 5-minute video? Steve, I got to tell you the saddest story in the world, okay? I swear to God, this broke my heart. A couple of weeks ago, Steve, I interviewed Paul Orndorff. Now, Steve, you got to keep in mind, Orndorff's only 69 years old. And, Steve, you know Orndorff was a man's man.
Absolutely.
A freaking man's man. And, Steve, I had the not only did I get to work with him, but I got to work with him when he was running the power plant. Bro, you had guys 6'8", you know, 280, scared to death of Paul Orndorff. He would stand up to – bro, he was old school. So, Steve, I'm sitting down. I'm getting ready to interview 69-year-old Paul Orndorff. I'm really excited because I treasure the legends of his business. I'm expecting the same guy. Steve, Orndorff comes on, and, bro, you would have thought he was 80 years old. And my heart just like, you know, because you could tell it was the wear and tear and, you know, everything in the business and his body. Finally, it's all catching up with them. And Steve, the saddest point for me was the interview's over. Okay. And bro, I was like, I was treating the guy like he was my own dad. You know what I mean? Because without him, I wouldn't have a job. I would have never been in the business. Come on, bro. And Steve, the interview's over. And he's now he's telling me, Vince, look at my Hall of Fame ring. Look at my Hall of – like that's what he had left. But like that's my point, bro. Like he – every day he looks at that ring and that's what he's got. And then he relives those memories. And then you just have certain people that are left out because of politics or they got into a beef with Vince or his old man. Who knows? But, bro, give everybody that 5 minutes for what you guys sacrifice.
Okay, I need to thank one more sponsor of the Steve Austin Show, Casper Mattress. Get $50 towards any mattress purchase by going to CasperTrial.com/Austin and using the promo code 50SLEEP. You spend over a third of your life in bed, so why not make sure it's the most comfortable mattress you can buy without breaking your bank? That's what Casper can do for you, and it's completely risk-free. Casper offers free delivery and returns. You sleep on the mattress for 100 nights for free, and if you don't love it, Casper will come pick it up for you at no cost. It's that easy. So go to CasperTrial.com/Austin and use promo code 50SLEEP to get $50 off the purchase of any mattress. That's CasperTrial.com/Austin.
Terms and conditions apply. If you're in the market for a car, then you need to check out TrueCar.com and the TrueCar app. TrueCar gives you price and information you need to feel confident about your purchase. When you register with TrueCar, you'll see what other people in your local market paid for the car you want. From there, you can connect with a local TrueCar certified dealer and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. TrueCar shows you real pricing on actual inventory, so you see competitive pricing offered to you by TrueCar certified dealers for vehicles that are actually on their lots. TrueCar makes car buying easy, no matter if you're looking for a brand new or used vehicle. There are over 500,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. And there are over 13,000 TrueCar certified dealers. And over 2 million cars have been sold to TrueCar users by the TrueCar certified dealer network. TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar.com or download the TrueCar app to enjoy a better car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Steve Austin Show. The Steve Austin Show.
How do you say that if it wasn't for Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff that you wouldn't have gotten in the wrestling business?
Well, I'll tell you exactly why, Steve, and this will segue right into what we're probably going to talk about next. Because I cannot sit here right now and tell you there will be a wrestling business in 10 years. I can't tell you that, bro, because all of a sudden, anybody and everybody could be a wrestler. And the casual fans have turned off the product because that's not what a wrestler is to them. A wrestler to them is what they grew up on, what their fathers grew up on, and their grandfathers before them. When Paul, bro, listen, everybody says about Vince Russo, oh, Vince, you crap on the product. All you put over is the Attitude product, the Attitude Era. Meanwhile, I sit here and I say WrestleMania 1-3 was the best wrestling and the best period I ever saw in my life. And you look at any WrestleMania card, bro, you go up and down those cards. It's freaking ridiculous. And Paul Orndorff was right there for WrestleMania 1, right there in the main event. And guys like Orndorff and Savage and George Steele, who just passed away, yeah, all these guys built a business that should have been secure and here forever. And slowly but surely, it's a dying breed. But Orndorff, he did his best, as did Hogan, as did all those guys, to make sure this is going to be around for a long time and people are going to be able to enjoy this for generations to come.
Well, when you decided to interview Paul Orndorff, and you were watching the business back then, correct?
Yes.
But not so much as a fan who was buying in. You kind of knew everything was on the take, but you were, yes, interested in the business. It was funny because, you know, my history with Paul Orndorff is, you know, I started off in the USWA and then get a call from WCW. I go down there kind of traveling, you know, by myself, you know, coming to a new territory. Didn't know anybody. Paul Orndorff takes an interest in me. We start talking. We have a lot in common. It's kind of an outdoor type thing. And, man, we'd be riding down the road and we'd see a deer in a pasture out on some land. He'd go, look at the deer. Look at the deer. I mean, he'd absolutely go crazy. And I was like, man, easy. It's just a deer. He goes, oh, man. He goes, Paul was a hunting fanatic. Probably still is. And he goes, do you hunt? I said, well, yeah, I used to, but I said, since I've been in the wrestling business, you know, I haven't, you know, don't have any time to. He goes, you got to start hunting with me. I said, all right. I said, I left my deer rifle in Texas. I said, I ain't got no gun. He goes, we'll get you going. We'll get you one. Remington, Model 700, 7 mag. I said, all right. He goes, that's what I shoot. And put a Leopold scope on it. And all of a sudden, me and Paul Orndorff are down there in a small town in South Georgia, about 180 miles south of Atlanta, called Ryan. And a little bitty hole in the wall town. A lot of swamp country out there. I got my four-wheeler. He's got his four-wheeler. And we're out there just in the middle of nowhere hanging. And we sit back and drink some beers, and Paul wasn't a very big drinker, but we'd have some drinks out there, and, you know, all of a sudden Rude comes into the mix, Ravishing Rick Rude, and another man's man, and, you know, Paul says, oh, man, you got to come out, you got to start hunting with us. And Rude says, well, you know, I don't have a gun. What I need, go to 7 mag.
Paul was a 7 mag. Is the punchline that he had an endorsement deal for the 7 Magnum?
No, it's just that's what he shot, you know. So I had, you know, my gun was in Texas, so he recommended that caliber. I shoot a 308 now, so it's not a 7 mag plug, but, you know, my point was just, you know, he was such a fanatic about it. We were all shooting the same rig, all had four-wheelers, and, you know, when I'll refer to myself as Stone Cold. When you've got Stone Cold Steve Austin, I wasn't him yet. Stone Cold, Ravishing Rick Rude, and Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, and there were some other guys from Jupiter, Florida, but they were never there. So us three guys were only guys there. And the whole time, if we weren't hunting, we were booking the territory. We're talking about wrestling, talking about heat, how to get over. You know,
wait a minute. Hold on. Steve, you guys weren't playing video games?
You know, here's the ultimate. I've told this story before, but I'll tell you, since you're a country boy now, you know, Rick, being from Minnesota, the land of 11,000 lakes, you know, they got ponds and everybody fishes over there. And Rick Rude was a very good fisherman. So he decided, one day we decided, hey, let's go fishing. There was a fishing hole not too far away. We got our fishing poles. Rick Rude caught probably 20, 25 fish. I might have caught 3. He was in the sweet spot. He just kept pulling them out of water, and I'm over here looking like, God dang, this guy's killing me. He's crushing me. So we get back to the lodge, and it's a very basic structure. There's a screen door, and when we'd come this trip, someone had put a big Lazy Boy chair there made out of vinyl, and there was a table with an old-school VHS deck on it, and a little color TV, and it was Cape Fear, the movie. And so Rick put in Cape Fear, and he was watching the movie, and I'm out in the backyard. We're on 2,000 acres in the middle of nowhere in swamp country in Ryan, Georgia, and I'm out there, a pair of pliers and a knife, cleaning a catfish over a trash can. And I don't think it's any, you know, I'm not breaking any news that Rick liked to smoke his marijuana. And he was just always in these. It wasn't just a little bitty joint. It was a joint about as big as my little finger. I look in there. He's watching Cape Fear. You know, Robert De Niro's in there laughing on the screen. And I see this big cloud of smoke coming up. And then finally the screen door opens and it shuts. And Rick comes over to the trash can. He goes, what are you doing? And I said, well, hell, Rick, I'm cleaning all these catfish. I said, you want to clean a few? Nope. He turns around, the screen door slams, he sits back in his chair, and I'm thinking, God dang it, you know, but what I'm going to say, Rick Rude, you know.
Yeah, of course, I'm sure we could argue with him.
I'm the low guy on the totem pole, but it was just those memories of traveling with Paul. So why did you just out of the blue say, hey, I got to talk to Paul Orndorff, and how did you reach out to him?
Steve, you want to hear an absolute shoot? You do the podcast, you know, I mean, you're the godfather of podcasts. And if it were up to me, Steve, every one of my podcasts would be with a legend of the business. That would be my show, bro. I'm talking about if you were under 50, you're not going to make the cut. You got to be 50 or over. Here's the problem. They don't know how to do Skype. They don't know how to, bro, it's like if possible bringing these guys into the 21st freaking century? Bro, do you know how long I tried to interview Koloff? And he couldn't get the video connection for so long. So, bro, that's always a top priority of mine. But, you know, like a lot of times, Steve, I got to be careful because if they have Legends deals or they still have, I don't want to get these guys any heat because they're talking to Vince Russo. But if it were up to me, that would be my show. Just legends of the business, education, hearing the stories. I would do that every single day and it would never get old.
Yeah, it's funny because when you bring up Ivan Koloff, of course, man, you know, growing up, I was a huge NWA fan. Of course, you know, his tag team with Nikita Koloff and Ivan going back to his WWF days, I guess probably when he was working some shots with Bruno. I mean, man, Ivan Koloff could flat out go. There's not anybody in the history of the business who knows anything about the business that would say Ivan Koloff couldn't work. He could work at his, he could work his ass off, and he pulled off the Russian gimmick with perfection. So it was like a shoot. You would have thought that guy was a Russian. So I wanted to talk to him on my podcast. I reached out to him, and of course, probably as was your conversation with him, cell reception was coming and going. The signal was bad, and I'm having a hard time, you know, talking with him. And you, when you kind of over talk, you know, and both people are trying to talk and you're kind of butting heads in this conversation, it just turns into a cluster. The neat thing is when I'm talking to you, I can see you. And as I'm talking with my hands, you know what I'm wanting in. I know when you want in. And just talking with Ivan, I'm talking with this legend, but the conversation just didn't go as well as I wanted it to.
I know.
So that's the thing that's tough. How did your conversation go with him?
With who? Orndorff?
With Ivan.
No, I never got it.
Oh, so you
never got
did.
It? No, I never got it because I couldn't get the video. And, you know, half of my show is video. And he just, bro, I swear to God, I was so lucky. Don't ask me how I did this, but I was actually able to walk Mr. Backlund through the video. And I actually I was shocked. I was like, there's no way. And believe it or not, I've been able to have Backlund on the show because he could figure it out. But that's the problem, bro, with the old time is they can't do the computer.
Well, how was talking to Paul? Was it in a good state of mind?
Yeah, bro, are you kidding me? Steve, here's what was heartbreaking to me. As a shoot, bro, and as a fan, I spent 90% of the conversation putting him over because, Steve, I'm telling you, I could see it in his eyes. I could see it in everything he said. Here's a guy now, bro, who helped build the WWE, WrestleMania 1, megastar, a wrestler. And now, bro, you could see it. And I see this with the guys all the time, and it destroys me. He's sitting at home. His daughter's taking care of him. And in his mind, he thinks people never heard of Paul Orndorff. So I just sat there and like, bro, do you know how great you were, Paul? And bro, all he kept saying to me over and over again was, you just brought a tear to my eye. You just brought a tear to my eye. But I was being sincere, Steven. I get very passionate because people that think wrestling is good today, they didn't see that stuff. There's no way you could have seen a Paul Orndorff in the ring in his prime and think that today's wrestling is good. There's just no way, bro. And that's why I want those guys to know you're not forgotten. You built this business. You will never be forgotten.
I think Paul knows, but I think he's just such a humble guy, and he's always been that low-key guy. Don't get me wrong. When that music hit and it was time to go out there, he was known as the Brandon Bull. We're coming out of Brandon, Florida, football player, one of the best bodies in the history of the business at the time, still has a physique that always holds up until he had that nerve damage from the kick to the head on that right arm and then put off the surgery because the money and the run was so good. But, you know, we would ride down the road and you know how he used to talk. He'd get all intense. I mean, and that's who Paul was. I mean, and there's that old story, and I believe this is it's a total shoot. It was Paul Orndorff. It was Tony Atlas, Mr. USA, and I used to travel with Tony Atlas as well. And there's one other guy. But anyway, Paul and Tony were having an argument. I believe they were working for Bill Watson, Mid-South Power Pro at the time. And they had an argument. Pull a car over. Paul and Tony Atlas go at it on the side of the road. Paul ends up, this is before Mike Tyson bit off Evander Holyfield's ear, Paul bit off part of Tony's ear.
Holy shit.
And Tony had to go to the doctor. He missed a shot or two, got fined for missing a shot, not getting in a fight. But Paul was a salty dude.
Gosh,
and were, yeah. I don't know if you what your recollections were when he got into the fight with Big Van Vader in WCW. I was healing up from a tricep injury. Brian Pillman witnessed it firsthand and told me all about it. But, you know, Paul, I think he remembers, I'm just saying how tough Paul was, but I mean, Paul was never looking to instigate anything. He was a very respectful person. I think he still remembers those days.
I hope so.
He was one of the big factors in helping me. You know, I was already aggressive to begin with, but hanging out with Paul and watching his matches, he was working a lot of matches with Paul Roma back in the day. And I remember this one story, you know, they high spots, you know, regular working style. And, you know, Paul didn't do anything flashy. It was stuff that all made sense. And yeah, at one point in the match, he grabbed this arm bar on Paul Roma. And Roma was on his knees and Paul was standing over top of him. He had this arm bar locked on him, had his chest stuck out. And it was just this power image. And we're riding down the road. Paul's driving. I'm riding shotgun. He goes, man, I told Paul, I said, man, there was one part of your match that just blew me away. He goes, hang on, I'll tell you what part it was. Riding down the road, he goes, it was the armbar spot. Dude, out of a 15-minute match at a house show, Vince, he grabs an armbar. How would he know that the armbar caught my attention? And because of all the things, an armbar, when you could have done all this crazy high spot, and I could have been referring to that or something that was a heat spot, he goes, it was the arm bar spot. I said, how did you know? And he goes, Steve, because that's power. And that was what he was trying to exemplify and show that crowd in that particular moment, and I got it. That's the level that I was at with Paul Orndorff.
Yeah. And, Steve, that's what I missed today. I mean, Steve, bro, well into through the Attitude Era, bro, into 40 years old, everybody, whether I was a kid, whether I was a teenager, in my 20s, 30s, up until my 40s, everybody who walked through that curtain, I would sit there and say, that guy could beat the living shit out of me. Bro, everybody up and down the card, everybody. And I swear, Steve, I stay up nights thinking about what happened. I'm 56 now, Steve. I swear to you, bro, I could take half the WWE roster. I know I can. What happened to every guy coming through that curtain? That if you were a casual fan like me, you knew, man. If I ever ran into that guy at a bar, I don't know what happened. That's why I love guys like Orndorff and Koloff and all those guys, because you just freaking believed it.
All right, on that note, Vince, let's put a pin in it right now. I want to send this half to Stacy over there in the 90210 to post for Tuesday. Let's keep rolling sound and record part two for this Thursday's Unleashed show. Vince Russo here on the Steve Austin Show. Vince Russo of The Brand Podcast at Podcast One. Wrapping up today's podcast, I'm going to bring it home for you on the next segment. And part two of my conversation with Vince Russo this Thursday on Steve Austin Show Unleashed.
Hey everyone, it's Sean Wheelock. On Sean Funky and the Baddest Man, Podcast One's newest MMA show, Ben Askren and Joe Warren take down Conor McGregor, George St. Pierre, Gabby Garcia, Frank Shamrock, Douglas Lima, and it's only our first show. Download new episodes of Sean Funky and the Baddest Man this and every Wednesday at PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, and subscribe on iTunes.
All right, everybody, give me the go-home cue. It's time to wrap up this podcast and ride off into the sunset. Time for me to pack up my bags and get ready to haul ass to San Antonio tomorrow and ride down to the Broken Skull Ranch. Looking forward to getting down there and seeing what the place looks like and then
driving my pickup truck back to Los Angeles. Maybe I will make a stop along the way to see if I can pick up a podcast with someone down there in the great state of Texas. We will see how that goes, and I will keep you apprised of my journey and everything that happens on that journey. Looking forward to it. 1,500 miles, open highway, I-10 West the whole way. Hey, man, I want to thank my guest, Vince Russo, from The Brand Podcast at PodcastOne.com and iTunes. Always fun to talk to Vince. As you know, man, he is very opinionated, and he has his thoughts, and he sticks by them. Good talking to him. See if he makes that transition down there in Indiana by way of Denver. And you can listen to part two of my conversation with Vince Russo of The Brand coming up on this Thursday show as we wrap it up talking about the business of pro wrestling. Hey, man, all them shirts you've been seeing me wear on the Broken Skull Challenge, whether it's the United States of America or over in the UK, you can find them at ProWrestlingTees.com/Steve Austin. And if you need a badass IPA, check out my Broken Skull IPA, Steve Austin's Broken Skull IPA from El Segundo Brewing Company. Pick it up at Whole Foods and Total Wines if you live in California, or order from InsideTheCellar.com if they live in a state that you ship to. Or just go to BrokenSkullRanch.com because you can find everything that Steve Austin at BrokenSkullRanch.com, including the cold steel Broken Skull knife and the new Working Man knife. Both blades, both knives, badass. Broken Skull, a little bit more high-end, a little bit more expensive. Working Man, friendly price, but extremely badass quality. Dig it. Hey, man. I want to say thank you for supporting all the fine sponsors of the Steve Austin Show. That's how I'm able to do this podcast for you free twice a week, and you can find all my sponsors at PodcastOne.com. If you just click on the Killer Deals button at the top of the page and then click on the Steve Austin Show banner, that's all you got to do. So thanks to Dollar Shave Club. Sign up at DollarShaveClub.com/Steve and get your first month for $1 with free shipping. Casper Mattress. Go to CasperTrial.com/Austin and use the promo code 50SLEEP to get $50 towards the purchase of any Casper mattress. Hey, folks, the 60-second AP News headlines are coming up next. Until then, my name is Steve Austin, and I will catch your ass down the road.
Download new episodes of The Steve Austin Show every Tuesday at PodcastOne.com. That's PodcastOne.com.